T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Watch Chicago by L with Jeffrey Bear. I've never taken the Skokie Swift, ever. Like, in my whole life, I've never taken that. And learning the history of why that even exists was fascinating, and all the cool stuff that went along with it. And they did every single line and had these great stops all the way on it.
The Skokie Swift, they're my favorite CBA team.
Well, not after Isaiah killed the CBA.
I loved him when he played for the Memphis Grizzlies, too.
That's Stromile Swift, the Skokie Swift. That's a different thing entirely.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. We're excited about today's show. We got a lot of cool stuff planned for you today. We'll talk about the NFL's plans for the draft, how they keep wanting to we're just going to keep doing it. And everyone's like, maybe we should delay the draft because things aren't necessarily getting better in every place you look. And the NFL's like, no, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. So we'll see if they end up changing their minds on things. Dan Pompey of The Athletic is going to join me at 12:20. He wrote a piece on Nick Foles and why it is that Nick Foles is someone that coaches want to work with over and over and over again. So we'll talk with Dan about that. We'll talk about the quarterback battle and whether or not he thinks that it's a done deal, that it'll be Nick Foles' job, or if Mitchell Trubisky actually has a chance to be the starter for the Bears. At 1 o'clock, I've been telling you how I'm going to bring some of the House of L content to the airwaves, if it makes sense to do. So I had a couple of choices that I was going through last night, and I reached out to Barry Rosner, and I said, hey, Roz, can I play a chunk of the interview that we did together for House of L? And he was like, yeah. So I'm going to do that at 1 o'clock. Like, we had a really good chat. Like, the whole episode is great, and I love Barry Rosner, and you should too. So I'm going to play some of that for you at 1 o'clock. Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network is going to join me at 1:25, and we're going to figure out what he's watching. The crew, Herb Lawrence and Rick Damkamp, they are at the Score Studios making sure that everything is cool. I'm hanging out in the basement doing my thing and getting the show prepared and waiting for the delivery to come. So that might happen. Herbie, I might jump up and leave if the delivery happens while we're on the air, just so you know.
That's cool.
You need
whatever your delivery is, right?
Yeah, I do. I desperately need it. But I actually did just leave a note on the door. I was like, just come on in and deliver it. So,
ooh, that's deadly. You know. You're telling people in your neighborhood stealing grills. You'd be stealing your first floor.
It's true. It's a risk, but I would probably be social distancing from them anyway. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
You getting a grill?
I'm not getting a grill. Not the type that you put in your mouth or the one that helps you put food in your mouth. At least not yet. Although I was thinking about making pork chops tonight, And pork chops off the grill would be a much better choice than off the skillet.
'Tis a perfect night to cook, about 60 degrees.
Yeah, man, and that's kind of where I wanted to start the show a bit today. I hope that you are listening to me if you're driving around in this and not bothering anybody and staying a safe distance from people, or if you're at your office in your house, or if you're just sitting by the window with us on your Alexa or on your Bose, I hope that you're getting some sunshine, because I've been dying to go outside. And this weekend, like, that's one of the things I hated about Saturday and Sunday, where it was like, you know, the weather, it felt like it was actually going to turn, and then it turned back, and then we had all the snow and the sleet and everything else that was going on Saturday and Sunday. And we're already feeling a little caged in, but to then not have the idea of being able to go outside, really, really difficult. So I was looking at Channel 9 this morning. Paul Conrad was going through the weather, and I said, yeah, this is the day that I had marked on my calendar to get outside and run. Like, I was going to go run today, and I'm so glad that I did. It was completely therapeutic for me. I've been walking. Like, I have a treadmill down in the basement, and I have a yoga mat, so I can do stuff. Like, I can do an actual workout, like, in my basement. But the idea of getting outside just on a day like today, where it is sunny and there's not a lot of wind yet, and you can just kind of enjoy it and soak up the sun and get some of that good stuff, it just felt great. So I had kind of shut it down over the last couple of weeks, because you're planning and trying to make sure that there's enough stuff in the house, and you're trying to make sure that you have everything set. And obviously, like, I was also trying to make sure that I could do my job here and my job for NBC Sports Chicago. So I shut it down once I found out that the Shamrock Shuffle was canceled, because that's what I was training for. Like, I decided, I'd given up running for like a year, and I was like, all right, I feel good. Like, I've lost enough weight where I feel like my knees can bear some running if I want to do some running. And I kind of shut it down after they canceled the shuffle. So this was the first time that I went out and ran after they canceled the Shamrock Shuffle. And I went, and I found what's really great, like, one of the cool things is that I found an area of soft trails not too far from me. And that is phenomenal. Like, if you run around Jackson Park, and I'm on, like, the tail end of Hyde Park and kind of where the Museum of Science and Industry is, there's these soft trails. So if you're someone who's got bad knees, it is perfect. So I did 3.5 miles today, and it felt amazing. It felt, I mean, it'll probably hurt later, but then I'll get out the, you know, I'll get all the power dot thing that I got from Spice Adams, put that on, and it'll be straight. But I just think that this is one of those days that if you listening via the radio.com app while you're walking around, walk outside. You can use it. And keep your safe distance, keep your 6-foot distance from other people. And I was avoiding people while I was out in them streets yesterday. Today, and I'll continue to do that as long as the weather is nice. But all of the medical professionals say that it's important for us to do some of this stuff. And so I'm trying to do it because I think that I need it for sanity. And you don't have to go for a run. Like, you might not even be a runner, but get on your bike, go for a walk, just hang out in the sunshine. Shout out to Roy Ayers. It felt, you know what, more than it felt good, it felt normal. Like, it felt normal. Like, I was doing all of my stuff that I usually do before I get up and go for a run. And after it was over, and I only did 3.5 miles. Like, I mean, I guess technically I did closer to 4. I just stopped my counter at about 3.5. But it when I got home, when I made it back from where I stopped to back to my house, I just felt invigorated. And that's one of those things where the more time that you spend in the house, the more difficult like that feeling, that sensation is. So I'm glad that I got that. So how about this? Before we talk with Dan Pompey, I'll open up the phone lines, 312-644-6767. What's something that you're doing to try and stay sane? Like what's something from your life before we got locked down that you're still trying to do in a safe manner to keep you from going crazy? And look, I'm lucky. There are no kids running around here that have to be educated. And I know that every parent is doing their absolute best to do online learning and to do all of this stuff to keep your children from doing what you got to do. I appreciate what you're doing and the role that you're being put in. An 847 texter says, Lawrence, isn't there a stay-at-home order in effect? Yes, but part of the stay-at-home order is that you are allowed to go outside and exercise as long as you're not exercising in groups. And I'm out there running by my damn self. So, like, you don't literally just have to stay inside. You can go outside, but don't go outside in groups. And keep distance from people. So, yeah, you can go for a run or go for a walk. All of those things are allowed. Just don't group up. And I know that there are some people that are like, they have their group of people that they run with. Like, don't do that. But go run for yourself or the people that are already in your house. You can go run with them. And if you are going to run with people, make sure that you keep six foot distance. This texter says, you can text us at 670-11. It's brought to you, but the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Playing golf, Lawrence. Illinois says course can open with specific rules in place. I actually ran along the golf course this morning in Jackson Park. Like, as I was looking for some of those soft trails, like, I ran on the outside of the course. I kept thinking about running the golf course today. Which is perfect considering that I'm going to have Barry Rosner on.
If you go north on Lakeshore, that Maravitz golf course, a 9-hole one, there was like 5 or 6 people golfing when I was going home yesterday about 6 o'clock. So today I expected to be a little bit more activity. I already saw people running and walking down Lakeshore when I got in here about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I saw a few people. I went a little earlier today. Like it was probably like 40 degrees when I went. But 40 degrees, sunshine, no wind, like, that's perfect for me. Like, that's perfect running weather for me. This texter says that he's sticking with a treadmill. I'm not. I don't run on treadmills anymore. Like, I found it to be more detrimental than helpful. I am walking on my treadmill to get on days when it's not nice enough to go outside. Like, I'm trying to get my miles in that way. This texter says, Alicia says she's listening while she's running. Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I'm a bad talk show host to listen to while you run, though. But I can't listen to talk or, like, podcasts when I run. Like, it needs to be an adrenaline-pumping mix of music. So if you end up having to go do that, I'm totally okay with you doing that. Let's go out to Guy, or is it Guy, in Janesville. Hello, Guy or Guy. How are you?
I'm good, Lawrence. How you doing?
Is it Guy or Guy?
It's Guy.
Okay. All right, Guy, what's on your mind?
Guy LaFleur is the only one I know that had his name spelled like that, the hockey player. But anyway, you know what I'm doing, Lawrence, and I was one of those guys that I am a runner, and I was actually one of those guys that scoffed at walkers. I'm like, why? That's just, I'm too hyper. I need to get going where I want to get going, get the exercise, and get it done. My wife is a walker, so as a teacher, I've been locked down now for a couple weeks, and I just spend twice a day. I get up in the morning, I go for a walk, and when she's a nurse, so she's still working. So when she gets home from work, her and I go on a walk. I'm actually getting more steps in now than I did when I ran. And it just, like you said, I get outside and it just makes me feel like things are kind of normal for a little bit, you know, and it's, it's just good, like you said, I think everybody needs to get outside at least once a day and do something. But I just wanted to chime in. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Guy. I appreciate you saying that. That's very nice of you, and I appreciate the phone call, too. Yeah, even if it's sitting on your back porch, man. What's really crazy is when I have gone onto my back porch, just listening to how quiet things are. Now, my neighborhood, for the most part, is pretty quiet, but it's been eerie quiet. And I take that as a good sign. And I heard Dan talking about it, and I read the piece in the Tribune that apparently Chicago's doing a really good job of social distancing. And I hope that soon that shows in the number of cases of coronavirus. Like, that would, you talk about something that I think would make all of us feel better if we could see, like, that curve getting softened and less people coming down with the virus and less people dying. I think all of us would benefit from that. So I felt like anecdotally I noticed it, whether I was driving in last week to the studio or walking around the neighborhood. Like, I felt like people were doing a pretty good job of doing the social distancing. So please keep trying, but know that you're allowed to go outside. Just don't group up. And today, go sit on your porch. Go for a walk. It will do you a world of good. Tinley Park and Greg. Hey, Greg, you're on the score.
Hey, definitely. I have four dogs, so walking my dogs keeps me active. Right now, I'm delivering pizzas, so doing a service. A lot of seniors are very grateful for us doing that. And three, and the best of all, listening to you guys, because you guys really keep me in tune with what's going on.
Well, we're doing our best, and we thank you for that. Thanks for the phone call as well. And you're right about the food service. Like, I'm trying to be even extra. I'm a pretty good tipper anyway. I'm sorry, Herbie. I'm a pretty good tipper. I know you don't. I'm just messing with you. But I'm trying to do above and beyond if I do order food. I've also kind of gotten back to cooking, which is good. But if I do order food, I'm trying to go above and beyond, because the people that are out there delivering food, they're just trying to make a living too. And the restaurants, I at first I was kind of like completely lock yourself down, and now I'm kind of like, I need to spend money in my neighborhood, because when things get back to normal, I want those businesses to still be there. I want Valoy in Hyde Park to still be there. Nathan's in Hyde Park to still be there. All these places that I want, Daly's on 63rd Street, I want it to still be there when things hopefully get back to normal. So thanks to everyone who's delivering food, and thanks to everyone who is doing their best in healthcare. Nurses, doctors, epidemiologists, even everyone that's associated with picking up phones and everything inside a hospital. Like, you guys are showing us the way. And I don't even know how we can sufficiently say thank you. I do feel like if we come out on the other side of this and we're in good shape, that a day should be dedicated to those folks. But we'll see. We need to take a break. We'll get back to the old sports-a-roo. Dan Pompey is going to join me next. We're going to talk about why the Bears wanted Nick Foles. That's coming up here on The Score.
You got somebody who may take your job. Now you got somebody who knows this offense maybe better than you. Now you have somebody who has played under the most pressure-packed of circumstances better than you've ever played. So you better show us whether, if you're going to stick your chest out and take control of this team, or are you going to shrink in the corner and we're going to wind up moving you on down the road, and is St. Nick going to be a hero for not one franchise, but two franchises?
That was Lewis Riddick talking about the Bears bringing in Nick Foles. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. I wanted to reach out to Dan Pompey because he wrote a piece, really good piece, very thorough, as per usual. That's what you get with Hall of Fame writers, for The Athletic, about the Bears quarterback battle. And I'm using air quotes. You can't see me, but I am using air quotes here. Pompey joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Always good to be with you, Lawrence. Hope you're doing well and surviving these crazy times we're in.
Well, I'd love to know, before we get into the football, how are you dealing with it? Because you strike me as being similar to me, where the work is comforting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little concerned, though, because a lot of what I do has to be done face-to-face and is reliant on travel. And, you know, I had a few projects in the works that I was able to kind of keep working on because most of the heavy lifting was done. But I'm getting to the point where some of that has dried up. So I might be kind of in a period of inactivity here in the near future or low activity, which I'm not too happy about. But, you know, there certainly are bigger concerns and worse things that could be happening. So I'm not going to complain.
Do you mind if I ask you a journalism question?
Absolutely.
Why is it so important for you to get into the room with some of the really heavy hitters that you talk to when covering the NFL? Well, what's it about that experience that's different from maybe a phone call or a Skype?
Well, I think when you really want to get to know somebody and you want to really understand their perspective and where they're coming from, you need to observe them face-to-face and look in their eye and be able to really spend some time with them and not just make it a, you know, here's a question, here's an answer, here's a question, here's an answer. I want a conversation, and I want a dialogue, a give and take. And, you know, if I can observe someone in their own setting or in a setting that is not just a sterile, you know, sitting in front of a locker room or something that is typical, I think that's very helpful, too. I've got a story out today for The Athletic on Jimmy Johnson. I went fishing with him on his boat with three rings in Florida Keys. And to be able to observe Jimmy in that setting, I think, gave me a window into who he is that I never could have gotten in a phone call. And I think oftentimes when you're in that kind of setting, your source tends to relax more and open up and be themselves. And I think Jimmy certainly did that in the story that I wrote today.
Having worked with Dave Wannstedt for the last couple of years on his show over at NBC Sports Chicago, he talks about Jimmy and the boat and how hard Jimmy works. Like, after he's done over at Fox, like, how quickly he is on a flight to get back to Florida and get back on his boat. Why is that kind of his safe place?
Well, I think it's where he's most at ease. You know, he really just kind of discovered this lifestyle after most of his NFL success. And he found that, you know, when he was a kid, he used to go fishing in Port Arthur, Texas. And when he found out that he could go deep sea fishing in the Keys, and, you know, he's got a beautiful complex in the Keys, which I've visited, and then he's got these two incredible boats, and he's got this great setup for fishing, and he's got an entire room that's set up with all kinds of rods and reels and gear, and it's an incredible thing. And when you see it, you could understand how anyone could really get hooked on it. And you know, one of the things that I know, he will do that morning show on Fox Sunday mornings, and he will take off immediately, sometimes in a private plane, sometimes not. But he usually is back in the Keys at home in time to watch the end of the late game on Sunday afternoon and then watch the night game. And so he's having dinner at home, and the next morning he could be out on his boat.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, and that's what Dave had always said. He said that he works hard to make sure that he is back and available to be back on that boat as soon as possible. Spending a few minutes with Dan Pompey of The Athletic here on The Score, talking about reporting, talking about the great piece that he did for The Athletic on Jimmy Johnson. The piece before that was about Nick Foles and him landing with the Bears. So I want to start with this. Why are coaches who work with Nick Foles inclined to work with him again?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the things that I found out in my research about Foles is that, you know, Nagy has now worked with him three times, as well as John DeFilippo, and they were not always the same. As, you know, maybe DeFilippo and Bowles, there were different times. And then, you know, if you look, there are a bunch of other people. Andy Reid has worked with him twice. You know, you've got a couple GMs, Brett Veach and Howie Roseman, two of the most respected GMs in the league, worked with him twice. Bill Lazor now is working with him twice. Juan Castillo is now working with him twice. So I think there's something to him that these people see, first of all, obviously from a talent standpoint, they believe he has what it takes to be a quarterback now in the league. Now, not all of them have acquired him at all times to be a starter, but I think when you talk about a guy as a backup, then you also are bringing the big picture into the equation and saying, how is this guy going to affect the quarterback room? How is he going to affect the whole team? How is he going to be with the other quarterbacks? And I think that's one thing that everyone is effusive about with Foles. You know, he's a little like Chase Daniel in that regard, a little like Josh McCown in that regard, in that he's a guy that I think everybody feels lifts up the room. And I think he's also a guy, though, who's got more talent, certainly, than Chase, and a guy who, you know, has got some pelts on the wall, having been a Pro Bowl player 1 year, having been a guy who won a Super Bowl 1 year, and a guy who's performed well in the postseason repeatedly. So, you know, he's a guy, I think, who's got some potential. To me, to my way of thinking, I think he's a pretty good get for the Bears.
Why might he be an effective mentor for Mitch?
Well, I think he's a guy who has been there before. He's a guy who really has worked with other young quarterbacks. Doug Peterson told me about how he really had a nice impact on Carson Wentz in terms of a couple different ways. One way in terms of how he helped him learn to prepare in the NFL. And that preparation went from not only studying tape and practicing, but how he ate and how he slept and how he did all the things that a good player is supposed to do away from the facility as well as when he was at the facility. And the other thing he said is that he really excelled at being able to take advantage of the offensive skill players on his team. I think Doug was saying that oftentimes young players, and Carson probably fell into this a little bit, feel like they have to do everything themselves, especially guys who have a lot of talent and who have who've been picked high in the draft and have pressure on them. They feel like, you know, I have to prove myself and I have to take advantage of everything I can do. But one of the things that Doug said that Nick does exceedingly well is he distributes the ball and he leans on the players around him to do their jobs. And, you know, it might sound like a simple thing or something that really is, you know, a no-brainer, but it isn't always that way. And Nick has a really good grasp at that. And he said that Carson learned it from Nick, and maybe it's something that he can help Mitch with as well.
Dan Pompey of The Athletic joining me here on The Score. You talk to a lot of people. I mean, it's one of the reasons that I love reading your stuff, because you get the big interviews and people, they take your phone call when Dan Pompey is picking up the phone. What do people around the league tell you about why it's not clicking for Mitch and whether or not he can be redeemed?
Well, I think, Lawrence, the real issue is, can he be redeemed? And I think that's something that we really don't know yet, but I think a lot of people are leaning more towards the camp where maybe he cannot be redeemed to the point, at least to the point where you know, you thought he was worth what Ryan Pace thought he was worth when he picked him in the draft. That doesn't mean he can't be a functional NFL quarterback, but he's got to make some improvements in his game. There's no question about it. And I think the Bears have to continue to try to help him more than they did last year, because they didn't do a very good job of helping him on a number of levels last season. So, But I think there's a lot of skepticism about Mitch right now, coming off the season he did and given the amount of time he spent in the league. And certainly there's even skepticism about him on his own team, which is why Nick Foles is a Chicago Bear. And, you know, the Bears took an approach where they weren't going to give up on him entirely. You know, I personally am going to be a little bit surprised if he is not given every opportunity to be the starter heading into week one. But I think they want to couch their bet a little bit, and that's what they're doing with Foles. And I think, you know, at some point, if Mitch struggles, whenever that is, whether it's in training camp or preseason or, you know, 5 weeks into the regular season, I think there's a good chance that you're going to see Nick Foles on the field, and yeah, he might be difficult to get off the field.
Dan, what are you hearing from NFL people about how they're going to do their off-season programs?
Well, nobody really knows, Lawrence, because we don't know if there's going to be an off-season program or when, you know, how long it might be. I think, you know, there's a lot of teams right now that are looking at ways to do things remotely in terms of teaching, in terms of, you know, providing workout programs. But there is no substitute for being able to get hands-on and work out, have players work out with one another, get timing down, that sort of thing. But I think there are some things certainly that can be done with technology in the day and age we're living in, and NFL teams are doing everything they can to explore those things and to push those things. And you know, those iPads are going to get a good working out this offseason.
No, there's no doubt about that. I want to go back to Foles because this is the piece that Dan Pompey did for The Athletic. It's a great piece. It's worth your time. You should check it out because it breaks down why people like Nick Foles as much as they do, and they're willing to bring him back to their teams. What happened with him with the Rams? Because it seemed like he lost his love for the game.
Yeah, he had a tough go with the Rams. They were struggling as a team. You know, I spoke with Jeff Fisher about that period. He was the head coach there at the time. And Fisher said that, you know, he kind of indicated that the team failed Foles that year. You know, they had traded for him, giving away Sam Bradford for him. This was after Foles was a pretty hot commodity. And he went in there, and Fisher felt like the team did not have the offensive skill position players that were necessary to have a quarterback succeed. And he also felt like, you know, the offensive coaching was a little bit of an issue because, you know, they had Brian Schottenheimer as their offensive coordinator. He left the team. He had some personal issues that he wanted to address, and he left the team. And, you know, they wanted to kind of have continuity, and it probably wasn't the right decision in Fisher's mind in hindsight. And, you know, the whole offense just never really got in sync. And Foles was benched, I think it was in November, for Case Keenum. And Keenum came out and played pretty well that year. And they won some games under Keenum. And Foles was really disheartened by it. And he thought about retiring. That's how disheartened he was. And eventually he was talked into playing again. And he returned to Kansas City at the time and was reunited with Andy Reid, who drafted him in Philadelphia. And then he ended up going back to the Eagles with Doug Peterson and, of course, having a great run and becoming a Super Bowl MVP.
Why is he so effective running RPOs? Like, what makes it so that these coaches that do run systems where that's part of the offense really like what he does?
That's a really good question because, you know, I think many of us think that to be good at RPO, you need to be able to move like Lamar Jackson or something. And that's not the case with Nick. With Nick, even though he was an outstanding basketball player in high school and he was even recruited by some of the top basketball programs in the country, including Georgetown. But, you know, he's good at the RPOs more because of his feel, his understanding of when to pass and when to run. You know, that's really the heart of being a good RPO quarterback is, you know, should I hand off now? Should I keep it myself? What should I do here? And Nick is really good at making the correct decision. This, and I'm getting this from his coaches, from Doug Peterson and Andy Reid and the guys I spoke with, because they feel like You know, that innate decision-making ability is something that enables him to do well at that. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how much, if he gets on the field for the Bears, that Matt Nagy will ask him to do in that regard.
One more thing, Dan. You brought up John DeFilippo, the new quarterback's coach. If we turn the clock back 3 years ago, this was a guy that was absolutely on the rise. He even interviewed for the Bears head coaching job. I used to watch his videos in Philadelphia where he would break down game tape, and I was really blown away by his knowledge and his ability to teach what it is that he knows. What's happened to him, and why is he now someone that has to kind of rebuild himself starting back at being a quarterback coach?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lawrence. I think what happened is he went to Minnesota, and he kind of had a little bit of a different philosophy. He was the offensive coordinator there. Had a little bit of a different philosophy from Mike Zimmer, the head coach, given where the Vikings were as a team and, you know, what kind of personnel they had and the situations that they found themselves in. Zimmer wanted to run the ball more than DeFilippo normally likes to do, and they ended up parting ways during the season. And then he goes down to Jacksonville, and, you know, they had a bad year there, in part because Foles broke his collarbone in the first game of the season. And you know, the team just kind of unraveled. The defense wasn't what it was supposed to be, and they had a lot of issues that were kind of beyond his control. And then, you know, they decided to make some changes in the offseason, understandably, and he's at a point now where he probably wasn't going to be an offensive coordinator in 2020. So he comes in to Chicago as a quarterback's coach and an opportunity to kind of revitalize his own career if he can get the most out of Mitch and or Nick.
Dan, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for picking up the phone for us and giving us some of the knowledge. You should read Dan's piece on The Athletic on Nick Foles. It goes really in-depth, and if you're a hardcore football fan, you'll really like to all the quotes from the different coaches that Dan talked to putting this piece together. Thanks for your time, sir.
Okay, my pleasure, Lawrence. Stay safe.
I'll try to do my best, and I know that you will too. That is Dan Pompey of The Athletic. He's in the Hall of Fame because – you think, Herbie, think about that. Dan is, you know, that to get an invite to Jimmy Johnson's boat, like, you don't just get that willy-nilly, you know? Like, I can't just, even though I know Wani, I can't just be like, hey, you get me on Jimmy's boat? And then to not just get on the boat, but then to go fishing with Jimmy Johnson, Dan Pompey is a gangster, man.
And the thing is, too, he does his job, you know, and gets respected by players and coaches and executives alike without being, I guess, like, you know, water carrying for them. He tells the story that needs to be told, and the people respect him for telling that story.
Yeah, I've always digged his approach, and I'll never forget doing a pregame show with Dan years ago, and we were talking, like, somehow we just happened to talk about the Patriots. And he reaches into his briefcase. He pulls out a bunch of notes. And he's like, well, Lawrence, I was talking with – it was in Bill Belichick's office this week. And we actually talked about this subject. And I was just sitting there going, what? What do you mean you were in Bill Belichick's office? Like, when he decides, like, at the end of all of this, when he's done doing the day-to-day stuff in the NFL, when he writes up the book about – everything he's learned about the game, I will be first in line to get that book, and I'm glad that he had time for us today here on The Score.
We're going
to take
a time. Lawrence, if it's coincidence or just, you know, a thing that just happened, but the fact that we're going to have Barry Rosner from House of L on, I feel the same way about him that you feel about Dan Pompey, and I know you feel the same way about Barry. Same way. The man does his job as a professional. How many people love him and the stories that he has to tell? Mercy.
Yeah, well, I picked two good stories of the conversation with Rosner. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, Barry Rosner is kind of in the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll explain, but that's coming up at 1 o'clock, so make sure you stick around. I'm telling you, like, it's uninterrupted me and the Roz talking baseball. I think that you'll dig it. We'll do that at 1. I got some news from the NBA that I want to share with you after a timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. So there's a little bit of news for the NBA. It's the guy that I've been trying to hide so that the Bulls could draft him. I don't think my plan is working. Obi Toppin has declared for the NBA draft. The AP Player of the Year, All-American First Team, has decided that he is going to forego the rest of his career, and he is going to be in this year's draft. The numbers on him, pretty good. He's a 6'9 guy that's super athletic, 20 points, 7.5 rebounds per game, shot 63% from the field, and finished fourth in the nation in effective field goal percentage. So wherever it is the Bulls are going to be drafting, he'll be – Campy, I'm guessing he's going to be long gone by then. Is that right? Long gone?
It depends, because he's a little bit older. So, like, some people seem to think maybe for the Warriors he'd be a guy where maybe you're not taking the best player on the board, but that's a guy that could help them a lot right now. So,
yeah, he could.
So it just all depends, because, you know, this draft is weird with not having that much at the top that's set in stone. So more than likely he'd be gone.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep him secret for a little while longer until we found out if there was actually going to be an NBA draft. And I guess the secret's out, so no Obi Toppin. Well, we'll see, maybe, because he does. And you know whose records he broke at Dayton, right?
No, Dayton Flyers. I'm trying to think of their basketball history. I can't remember any.
It's close to home, and I'll say that it is something that would lead you to believe that the Bulls are going to do whatever they need to do to draft him because of the connection.
Jim Paxson.
Facts. There it is, Herbie. He's the first unanimous All-American at Dayton since Jim Paxson.
And by the way, he stole that award. It's not his fault. Luka Garza is the best player in the college basketball. He played in the best league. He was the best player. I don't understand how an Atlantic 10 player gets the award playing those bums in the Atlantic 10 while Luka's got to go against that gauntlet of the Big Ten.
Well, did Dayton play anybody?
They did play some people tough. That's why he got on the radar early. I think they played North Carolina tough or something like that and got on.
Yeah, but they were trash.
Yeah, exactly.
They were really trash, like, all season long.
So, yeah, Luka Garza, you know my hatred for Fran McCaffrey and that team. But
yes,
no,
I do.
There's no better player in the league. He dominated in the Big Ten, in the scheduled Big Ten games. He dominated. And so I don't know what the voters are doing. Maybe they're voting for the best NBA prospect. It's not the same thing as the best player in college basketball.
Well, I mean, they played Butler. They played Virginia. They played Oklahoma. They played Auburn. So, I mean, they had a pretty tough schedule this year. So it wasn't just all bums that he was doing it against.
Hey, Garza played DePaul.
You know what?
12-1 DePaul.
Hey, 6 quad one wins for DePaul. 6 of them. Like, think about that. Oh, why you got to keep doing that to me?
Hold on. So, Herb, so Dayton is essentially like the opposite of Illinois football, where they play all their teams out of conference and, you know, then just nothing in conference. It's kind of like just flip-flop it, and that's the Illini.
I mean, we took Northern Illinois to task, like, for 3 wins straight.
Notice you didn't say Northwestern.
And then Northern Illinois got close one time, still beat them. It was like 17-12. We're like, all right, you're off the schedule. That's enough. You're too close. No, Northwestern, we lose to every year because apparently we don't get up for our rival.
Yeah, but things are changing now, right? Hopefully.
Apparently Illinois doesn't care about Chicago.
Oh, where are we? Chicago's Big Ten team.
I don't think that's what the signs on the highway say.
Scoreboard says that on basketball, though.
Wow. The scoreboard says that in basketball? When's the last time you went to the Sweet 16?
It's been a minute.
When's the last time Northwestern did?
The only time they went to the tournament ever.
That's true.
And Chris Collins will be coach for years. I mean, if Carmody went for 13 years and not making it, Chris Collins is going to have a job for life.
Yeah, he probably is, which brings us back to DePaul. But I am too blessed to be stressed today. I am not going to be stressed about DePaul basketball today. Even though I put the picture up on Twitter and Instagram, I'm actually rocking a DePaul hoodie and a DePaul cap today.
Okay, let's test this. Hey, Lawrence, remember when DePaul was 12-1 this past season?
I do, man. Those are great times.
The good thing about this, it's not a season that counts. It's cashed. So you could say, hey, that record really doesn't matter. No one made the tournament. It wasn't like DePaul missed it. It wasn't a tournament to have.
I think that they were the last team to win a game, too.
Damn straight. Big East champs.
Big East champs, indeed. I think both DePaul men and DePaul women were the last teams to win a game. But DePaul women, you know, won the conference. Any hoozle. Like I said, I'm not going to be stressed out about that. It's a good day. Sun is shining. Campy, are you going to get out and walk today?
I might. I have to binge the rest of Tiger King.
Oh, yeah. Save that for later. Because you were, like, Campy was talking to me down the line. I apparently have to jump onto this phenomenon because I saw Kyle Long tweeting about it and Sarah Spain tweeting about it. So it's that crazy that I need to get involved?
Yeah, I was skeptical of how crazy it was. Like, if you watch the trailer, it's like, you know, like a 2-minute trailer. It's much more crazy than the trailer. And the trailer is too much. Like, you think, come on, this can't be real. Like, they would never take this as a, like, for a script for a movie. But it's incredible. The layers to it are wild.
Okay, well, we'll ask Mike Hall what he's watching. We'll also get Campy and Herbie's stuff to see the things that they've been watching. I'm finally starting to binge Picard. I've been hesitant to watch it, but I've enjoyed the first couple episodes. So I'm going to use this 30-day free trial that CBS All Access is giving out so that I can watch it and watch the other Star Trek series, and then I can make some choices on whether or not I want to continue with CBS All Access. We need to take a break. When we come back, like I told you earlier in the week, I do a podcast called House of L. I talk with people in the media business. I get them one-on-one, and we talk about cool stuff. And one of my favorite people, I reached out to him and just said, listen, can I rock some of our discussion that we had? And Barry Rosner said yes. So you will hear from Barry Rosner coming up next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.